Christ Our Portion, August 10, 1898. To those who engage in the medical missionary work, the temptation will come to exalt themselves, to put on an appearance for the sake of effect. Cut away everything of this character from your work. Let the whole burden of soul be to be just what Christ was in His work. We are to make no compromise with the habits and practices of the world. We are to stand upon the platform of eternal truth, pure, unadulterated truth. In this we may be considered singular, but this is the lot of all who make Christ their portion. Every worker in medical missionary lines is to make that work a success by living in connection with the great worker. The Lord has greatly blessed His people, and He will continue to bless those who are represented by the householder, who gave to the household meat in due season. We are handling subjects which involve eternal interests, and we are not to ape the world in any respect. We are to follow closely the footsteps of Christ. He is a satisfying portion and can meet all our wants and necessities. God does not design that His people shall learn their lessons from the worldly wise, the soothsayers, who are forever stumbling over the mystery of divine mercy. Empty minds and glib tongues may conjecture and talk about scientific things, but this is a false science which bears not the similitude of God. All that reading scientific minds may conjecture aside from Christ, the light of the world, is as chaff compared to the wheat. Christ is grieved that so few understand the science of oneness with Himself. Minds that are not under the divine guidance cannot understand the science of redemption. The mystery of godliness is found only in the believing soul who is divested of self. He is greatest in the kingdom of heaven who will become teachable as a little child. The knowledge and education of Nicodemus was considered great and deep, but Christ showed him that they were of no value with God. He must be born again. He must receive new ideas and understand that God is in all true science. The Lord not only expects man to do his best, but to be learning and educating others. Then he can say, "I know in whom I believe." Jesus is the bread of life. If I feed upon Him, I shall be one with Christ in God. In our connection with any line of God's work, we must use the sacred fire. Supposed human ability and efficiency is common fire, but this is unacknowledged by God. A decided position must be maintained upon the high platform of eternal truth. The time has come when all who work in Christ's lines will have the mark of God, in words, in spirit, in character, in their honor of Emmanuel. While so many of our people have been hovering about the mystery of faith and godliness, they could have solved the matter by proclaiming, "I know that Christ is my portion forever. His mercy, His gentleness hath made me great." Christ invites us, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Matthew 11, verse 28-30. The truth of God has not been magnified in His believing people, because they have not brought it into their personal experience. They conform to the world and depend upon it for their influence. They allow the world to convert them and introduce the common fire to take the place of the sacred, that they may, in their line of work, meet the world's standard. There must not be these efforts made to ape the world's customs. This is common, not sacred fire. The living bread must not only be admired, but eaten. That bread which cometh down from heaven will give life to the soul. It is the leaven which absorbs all the elements of the character into a oneness with the character of Christ, and molds the objectionable hereditary and cultivated tendencies after the divine similitude. Christ declares, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and giveth light to all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Matthew 5, verse 14 to 16. In this age of the world, God sees in men great possibilities. If they will come to Him for light, they will receive spiritual life, for the right hand of God will be with them. It must be the work of the human agent, in harmony with the divine purpose, to be one with Christ. Then there will be perfect, divine harmony. All the selfish roots will be filled with the virtues of Christ's character. They will become so full of goodness, simplicity, meekness, lowliness of mind, that rich clusters of fruit will appear. In their necessity, the plants of the Lord will always find pure streams of living water. These streams flow for every believer. To the Samaritan woman, Christ said, "If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Whosoever shall drink of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water, springing up into everlasting life." John 4, verse 10, 14. That voice was virtually saying, "Your great need is Christ, and Christ needs you through whom to communicate His light. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Matthew 6, verse 33. When this instruction is followed, Christian consistency will be seen in every movement made. The speaker asked, "Why do you fill your bookshelves with books? Why do you spend money for that which is not bread?" Christ calls you, "Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart." Matthew 11, verse 29. You need to eat of the bread of life which came down from heaven. You need to be more diligent students of the Holy Scriptures and to drink from the living fountain of life. Draw. Draw in earnest prayer from Jesus Christ. Eat His flesh and drink His blood. Authors can never supply your great need for this time. We have the Word of the living God. For the asking, we may have the gift of the Holy Spirit to make that Word a power to those who will believe and obey. The Holy Spirit's work is to guide into all truth. The deep and earnest study of the Word of God, under the Holy Spirit's guidance, will bring the fresh manna, and from the same source will come the power to make it effectual. These words were spoken. Is it not enough for you to keep close to the Author of all truth? Are you not satisfied to draw your ideas fresh from the streams of Lebanon? Your trust in books is not necessary. God has a treasure house of precious food with which to increase your spirituality, and which will give you answers for those who ask you the reason of the hope that is in you. Obtain a daily experience in eating the flesh and drinking the blood of the Son of God. It is His meekness, His lowliness, that you are to learn of. All these books which you are accumulating and upon which you depend divert your mind from Christ. By beholding Christ, the author and finisher of your faith, you will be changed into His likeness. But very few know by experience the meekness and lowliness of Christ, and they will never know His fullness unless they change their habits and practices and become acquainted with Him who is eternal life to the receiver. Men need to depend far less on men and authors. They need to depend upon the Word of the living God with heart and mind and soul. Then the channel of communication will be unobstructed. They will have the inspiration of the Holy Spirit and will speak as they are moved by the Holy Ghost. Then they will understand that it is no funeral march they are making to the city of God. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. Love of self is not my love. Love for the highest place is not my meekness, my lowliness of heart. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. John 15, verse 8 to 14. If Christ's followers will show their implicit trust in God, new light will shine to them in the darkness. The Holy Spirit will guide them into all truth. They will have a joy that is no disloyalty, a power that will make itself a place. When the light of heaven shines upon the human agent, his countenance will express the joy of the Lord within. It is the absence of Christ from the soul that makes people sad and of a doubtful mind. It is the want of Christ that makes the countenance sad, and their life is a pilgrimage of sighs. Rejoicing is the very keynote of the Word of God for all who receive Him. Why? Because they have the light of life. Light brings gladness and joy, and that joy is expressed in the life and the character. This God requires of everyone connected with His work. Enter into the rock, and hide thee in the dust, for fear of the Lord, and for the glory of His majesty. The lofty looks of men shall be humbled, and the haughtiness of men shall be bowed down, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. For the day of the Lord of hosts shall be upon every one that is lofty, and upon every one that is lifted up, and he shall be brought low. And upon all the cedars of Lebanon that are high and lifted up, and upon all the oaks of Bashan, and upon all the high mountains, and upon all the hills that are lifted up. And the loftiness of man shall be bowed down, and the haughtiness of men shall be made low. And the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. And the idols he shall utterly abolish. And they shall go into the holes of the rocks, and into the caves of the earth, for the fear of the Lord, and for the glory of his majesty, when he ariseth to shake terribly the earth. In that day a man shall cast his idols of silver, and his idols of gold, which they made each one for himself to worship, to the moles and to the bats, to go into the clefts of the rocks, and into the tops of the ragged rocks, for the fear of the Lord, and for the glory of his majesty, when he ariseth to shake terribly the earth. Cease ye from man, whose breath is in his nostrils, for wherein is he to be accounted of? Isaiah 2, verse 10-14, 17-22. The Lord will work for all who walk in obedience to his will, maintaining their loyalty uncorrupted. Lift up the banner to be borne in these last days. The Lord saith, This people I have formed for myself, they shall show forth my praises. Isaiah 43, verse 21. The Lord has not sent his warnings to extinguish his people, but that they may be a separate and holy people, to bear an eloquent testimony, not for display, but to call attention to the hand that sustains the world. One who understands the wants of all his people. The natural things of God's creation have an influence, and in their very silence is eloquence. They respond to the voice and power of God, and the lessons they teach are that man who has reasoning faculties may have a conception of God's work, His wisdom, and His care, expressed in the smallest flower that grows. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Psalm 19, verse 1. O Zion, that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem, that bringest good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength, lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, Behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and His arm shall rule for Him. Behold, His reward is with Him, and His work before Him. He shall feed His flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with His arm, and carry them in His bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of His hand, and meted out heaven with a span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales, and the hills in a balance? Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or, being His counselor, hath taught Him? With whom took He counsel, and who instructed Him, and taught Him in the path of judgment, and taught Him knowledge, and showed to Him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, and they are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, He taketh up the isles as a very little thing. Isaiah 40, verse 9 to 15. This is a description of our God. His word, His power, is infinite, and yet men, whom He has created, are lifted up in their haughtiness. They talk of things of which they have no knowledge. It is their ignorance of God that makes men so uplifted in their own wisdom. The question was asked by the speaker, Will men dwell upon the wisdom of men? Will they extol men as God? Will they exalt the human above the divine? Let man humble himself before God if he would learn the ways and will of God. He declares, Have ye not known? Have ye not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have ye not understood from the foundations of the earth? Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of His understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no strength He increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Verses 21, 28 to 31. Shall this evil that has for years been stealing away the meekness, the lowliness, the simplicity of the people of God, making men wise in their own conceits, continue to come in and find place and encouragement? The Lord has men and women whom He will prepare for His work, if they will not seek to work the Holy Spirit, but make a daily consecration of themselves to God. Those whom God educates have bitter lessons to learn before they have confidence that God knows better than themselves. The character needs to be disciplined before men can reflect the glory of God. Although made originally in the image of God, richly endowed with reason, with a knowledge of God and of His duty, man fell because he listened to the deceptive talk of a richly endowed being who, because of rebellion against God, fell from his high and holy estate. Satan could talk knowingly, and by listening to him, the holy pair obtained a knowledge that God never designed they should have, a knowledge of transgression. And even those who know all the history of the fall of Adam and Eve, who know that the one sin of Adam opened the floodgates of sin upon our world, will walk in the very same path of transgression and disobedience. This sin of our first parents called for the only begotten Son of God to pledge his own life, that he might restore the moral image of God in man. And Satan assailed Christ with the same temptations with which he assailed Adam and Eve. We are indebted to Jesus Christ for the probation we now enjoy, and now it depends on man to choose his master, Satan or Christ. Whom shall we serve? We have the opportunity of becoming co-workers with Jesus Christ, and through obedience to him, win that home that he has gone to prepare. God desires that the human agents shall humble themselves, that he may lift them up, and they become sons and daughters of God and realize the gift of eternal life. And yet, with all these inducements, how has the privileged race worked on the side of the enemy of God and man to communicate evil by word and example? How does God look upon the world clothed in darkness? How does he regard the gross darkness that covers the people? A world apostatized. The world was disloyal to God, on Satan's side of the question, pretending a liberty which was all fiction, and independence which was no independence at all, and saying, "My powers are mine." Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice? See Exodus 5, verse 2. Man made from the dust of the earth was trying to live a life of sin and refusing to receive the ransom God had provided for him. In the place of seeking to reflect the moral image of God, they lifted up their souls unto vanity, aiming to be as God, to be admired and obeyed and glorified. Man has missed the mark and is Satan's slave, bound to his chariot car. He bears the image of the earthly and not the image of the heavenly. Their final destruction is near to come. These poor, deceived, deluded souls, except they repent, can never see God. And this is the class of men whom Christ came into our world to save. And all who believe in Jesus Christ are to cooperate with him in the great plan of redemption. They can only do this great work by yoking up with Christ. They may have some of the Lord's goods to use as soon as they receive Christ as their Redeemer. As fast as possible, they should begin to use their goods to advance the kingdom of God. That blessed kingdom will be the safe bank in which to entrust the earthly treasure. While in this world, God has offered to each individual the advantages of the heavenly commerce, and we are to be wise householders, wise stewards of our Lord's goods, using these goods to save souls, and thus laying up treasure in the bank of heaven.